Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Welcome to the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Charlie Romeliotis here at the United Center, where our girl Carrie Marcott is sending us off into the summer with some happy organ music, because the Blackhawks rallied from 2-0 down to score 5 unanswered goals and win 5-2 over the San Jose Sharks in their season finale. And I'm going to bring in Steve Conrad now for one final postgame show. And Steve, going into tonight, the San Jose Sharks were 27-0-2 when leading through two periods. That was their first regulation loss in that fashion. They were only one of six teams that had zero regulation losses. And very fittingly, the Blackhawks end up breaking that in the final game of the year.
That makes it a lot more impressive. I was not aware of that. I know that obviously the San Jose Sharks had a phenomenal season, 32 points more than they finished with last year, and they still have one game to go against the Winnipeg Jets. So, you know, great job by Chicago. And as I mentioned to John, I'd love to be in that dressing room after the second period, because they just scored a goal to make it 2-1, Sam Rinzell at the end of the second period. But I'm sure some guys had something to say. And whatever it was, certainly worked. Whether it was a coaching staff, whether it was the players, they came out with their hair on fire. And how about Louis Crevier? Two goals in that period. Sam Rinzell obviously scored earlier. Great to see Ryan Green score another goal. Three consecutive games with a goal. What a great way to finish off his first season in the NHL, his first full season in the NHL. And Nick Lardis, too. I believe that was his 10th goal.
Yep.
40-some-odd games. I mean, you factor that out over a full season, and, you know, maybe it's, if he's here the whole year, that's possibly 20 goals for a rookie. So it'll be a little under that when you factor it out. But still, all in all, that's a great victory. And I felt good for the guys, because it had been a tough couple of weeks here to close out the regular season. But that kind of put an exclamation mark on it, and good for them.
This was a really fun game, too, specifically in the third period. I always feel like the regular season finales is some of the best crowds that you can experience. And tonight we certainly felt that in the third period. Clearly, it was a lot of fun because the Blackhawks scored four goals, but there was a stretch there for like 4 or 5, maybe 6 minutes where it was back and forth action, and it was chances at both ends. Majority of them were the Blackhawks, and so it was a fun atmosphere for fans to be a part of. But yeah, you mentioned we should, next year, Steve, we should keep a tally of how many players that we talk to in the intermissions score a goal, because I feels like our average is high. Oh. We spoke to, was it Crevier in the first period?
Yeah.
He scores two goals, and then Sam Rinzell in the second intermission, he scored a goal. So how about that? They got the WGN radio bump.
We call that the player bump. Yeah, the interview bump, the WGN bump, and yeah, why not? And, you know, not only exciting hockey in that, you know, third period, we're going to be able to look forward to that for the next 15, maybe 20 years, because both of these teams loaded, absolutely loaded, with young, up-and-coming stars. And, we're the beneficiaries of that.
It was nice, too, for the Blackhawks to end the season in the way that they did, because it had been a real tough last couple of weeks where it feels like the entire team was kind of sputtering. And you can kind of go back to the trade deadline when they get rid of literally all three members of the leadership group, and Murphy, Dickinson, and Nick Foligno. And when things started to go sideways, there was really no one to look to kind of get them out of it, because those were the most vocal guys inside the locker room. Hawks do have some veterans in the room with Donato and Bertuzzi. You know, so there are some veterans in that locker room. Tara Vinen, obviously, won a Stanley Cup here with Chicago in 2015, but it probably just didn't have that same feel. And so for the Hawks to end up going into the summer with a game like this, it kind of feels like, okay, it's like maybe the Hawks can be next year San Jose, where they are the ones pushing for the playoff spot, and they are, you know, kind of knocking on the door, and they're playing meaningful hockey in the final week of the season.
Yeah, there's definitely a recency effect in sports, and it's what have you done for me lately? And you just remember your last game, and I think the Blackhawks will look up back on this game and say, hey, listen, we beat a team that almost made the playoffs, an up-and-coming team filled with stars, and we kind of fed it to them. 5-2 is a pretty impressive score. So, you know, I'm going to go back to this game, too, and look at some individual efforts. I thought Spencer Knight, especially early in this hockey game, was really, really good. The Blackhawks, for whatever reason, the first 20 minutes weren't very good. I think they only ended up with three or four shots in that first period. And San Jose had four or five really good scoring opportunities, high danger chances. Spencer Knight was fantastic. So, you know, good for him. And then, you know, the defense, the much maligned defense. We talked about the fact that the Blackhawks defense were the lowest scoring defense in the NHL. And lo and behold, they come up with three very important goals. And Louis Crevier, really enjoyed our conversation with him and, you know, his insights. And I love talking to him all year long because he's very approachable. He thinks about what he's going to say, and he talked about having fun playing hockey. And he said, I play my best hockey when I'm having fun. I think it's true of anyone in life. When you're having fun, what you're doing, you're going to do your best. And, boy, he was having fun tonight. Two big goals, and we were hoping that San Jose was going to pull their netminder, and Jeff Blashill had put Louis Crevier out there for the empty net goal. It didn't happen, but two goals in one game is a career high for him. And the seven goals this year leads all Blackhawk defensemen. So good for Louis.
Let's talk about the season as a whole. I kind of separate it into two categories. The Blackhawks team pre-Connor Bedard injury, and then the Blackhawks team post-Connor Bedard injury. Because when he ended up missing a month with that shoulder injury, then four games later, Frank Nazar goes down with an injury. Connor Bedard returns to the lineup, and he's not in his normal center position because he's not taking any faceoffs. But it felt like that also coincided with the struggles of Andre Burakovsky, because that line of Green, Bedard, Burakovsky was absolutely rolling for the first couple months of the season. And when Connor got hurt, he was tied for third in the NHL in the scoring race with Macklin Celebrini. And so it felt like Bedard was on a trajectory of having an 100-plus point season. And it would have been, man, if the Hawks season didn't get disrupted by that, it feels like the Blackhawks probably would have been in the playoff conversation all season long, because when you're looking at the standings, like the Nashville Predators were essentially in it all season long, and they have 86 points right now. So like there wasn't anyone really threatening the wild card race.
Yeah.
And so it's like there's that what if game of, man, what if Connor didn't get hurt and what if Nazar didn't get hurt? Where would this team have gone and what could the season have been?
Yeah, it was like the end of November and, you know, we were 23, 24, 25 games in. That's like a third year season, and they were close, if not in a playoff spot. And then the injury happens, and yeah, it didn't go well after that. Woulda, shoulda, coulda, though. That's the NHL, and you've got to deal with injuries. Every team's going to go through them, especially in a year like this year where it was a condensed schedule because of the Olympics and they were basically playing every second night. You knew that depth was going to be tested. And with a young team, you don't quite have that depth just yet. I mean, that is coming. But I think that really tested the Blackhawks was the fact that, you know, you take your top two centers out, how do you replace them? And it was literally impossible. So that was a legitimate excuse. They did the best they could. I think they learned a lot through some of those losses, too. And listen, they didn't totally fall apart. They won some games without Connor Bedard in the lineup. So they learned how to win. It was through defense, and they weren't scoring a lot of goals, but they weren't giving up a lot of goals either. So that's something I think that the team learned was there's different ways to win hockey games. You don't always have to score five goals. Sometimes you got to go out and win a game 2-1. And that's what they did a couple of times without their star players in the lineup.
So the Hawks made an 11-point improvement from last year's roster where they had 61 points. Hawks finished with 72. We talked about it in the pregame show how the last time these two teams played, Chicago and San Jose, we were talking about how the San Jose Sharks were 12-7 in overtime slash shootout. The Hawks were 7-14. Mm-hmm. And if you inverse both of their overtime slash shootout records, the Blackhawks would be higher up in the standings than San Jose. I believe it was like by 1 point. So if there is a path for next year for the Blackhawks to be knocking on the door, here are the reasons for optimism. Hopefully a full, healthy year for Connor Bedard and Frank Nazar. Going to have a full season of Anton Frandell. Going to have hopefully a full season of Roman Kantsarov, who is lighting up the KHL right now. But also, you feel good about Spencer Knight being the number one goaltender. But also, just from a simplistic standpoint, if the Hawks improve their overtime shootout record, like they could be right there because they left a lot of points on the table this year.
Well, it's an excellent point. And, you know, you do that, and then all of a sudden in March you're sniffing for a playoff spot. And that's inspiration right there. I think once the team got knocked out of a playoff position, and I don't know how many weeks ago that was, when they realized that they weren't going to qualify for the playoffs, there was a letdown. And you could kind of sense it on the team, and you could sense it in the dressing room. And it was, you know, disappointment. And, you know, sometimes that shows up on the ice, and I think it did over the last 3 weeks. But I think you brought up a really good point about the enforcements that are coming, the fact that Frondell will still be eligible for Rookie of the Year next year,
yeah.
And he very well might be. Can't wait to see Roman Kantsarov. And it sounds like, from what Jeff Blashill has talked to us about, he's going to be riding shotgun with Connor Bedard. So that should be a dynamic duo. You got Frondell as your second-line center. You know, I think on the back end, it remains to be seen who they take in the first round of the draft, and it's going to be a top-four pick. I don't know if that guy will be able to make an instant impact. I love the way our defense play, but let's be honest, they're lacking something back there. It's not size, but I think it's a little bit of grit, and it wouldn't surprise me one bit if that's what the Blackhawks try to target this offseason, is a guy who can play in your top four, but who's got a little bit of an edge to his game. That right there could get you another 5 or 6 wins and another 10 to 12 points. And I looked at, you know, what Boston did this last year. No one thought Boston was going to be able to do anything. They improved by 24 points. The Buffalo Sabres improved by 29 points. And then the Pittsburgh Penguins, who John and I talked about a little bit, I think it's one of the best stories in the NHL this year with Sidney Crosby and Yevgeny Malkin. They improved by 18 points. So the Blackhawks can do that, and what would we end up with? 72 points?
Yeah. But think about it. Think how, like, there was one win in the last 10 games. If the Hawks just have four wins in the last, they're probably right there at 76-ish, 78 points.
Right. So, you know, if they can take that next step, they're right there for the playoffs next year.
Last thing before we go, I want to thank you, Steve Conrad, because you stepped in into a really difficult situation where that was obviously Troy Murray's seat for the last 20 plus years with John. And the transition couldn't have been more seamless, because I don't think anyone could have done a better job than you did. And our relationship obviously goes back to our NBC Sports Chicago days when we worked as colleagues, I can't imagine how hard that was to, cause you obviously had Troy as a teammate, but also to kind of fill those shoes. Magnificent job. I really enjoyed working with you all season long, and I think, speaking on behalf of the Blackhawks fan, we thank you for what you did for us this year, and hopefully we get to do it again down the road.
Charlie, well, first of all, that was eloquent and very well. Thank you very much for that. I feel the same way. I mean, you guys, the one thing that you do is you make people think about, you know, different aspects of the game, and that's what I love. And sometimes you even challenge me, and that's good. You know, you eat, sleep, and breathe hockey, and I think Blackhawk fans are lucky to have you in the position you're in. You make us smarter for having listened to you, and for that. And thanks for making my job easy. I said that about John, too. Charlie, nobody prepares like you. You help make my job very, very easy. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. I wasn't expecting a reciprocation, but this is the Steve Conrad. We're pumping your tires. So yeah. We're going to pump your tires even more, because now our season is over, but your season is semi also just beginning, because you're going to be doing some NHL Network stuff for the playoffs. So you got to shift your brain now to some more playoff hockey. But this is the fun time of year.
I think the best round of the playoffs is the first round, because everyone's healthy. Everyone's just raring to go, and I'll be out in New York for Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, the first 4 days of the playoffs. So, yeah, I can't wait for it. And if you don't want to watch each and every game, just check out what's going on in the NHL Network. And we typically jump around from game to game, so we'll give you a taste of all the action and all the different series.
Awesome. Great stuff, Steve. Have a good summer after you get a chance to catch your breath post-playoffs.
Thanks, Charlie. You too.
All right. Something we mentioned in the intermissions or before the game, Blackhawks general manager Kyle Davidson signed a multi-year extension with the Blackhawks. That got announced by Blackhawks chairman and CEO Danny Wirtz on the CHSN pregame show. Danny also spoke to the media up here in the press box during the first intermission. So we'll share some of the highlights highlights of that conversation when the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show rolls on.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
After this on 720 WGN.
The crowd rises at the United Center. 10 seconds left in the season. The Hawks are going out in style. 5-2 victory over the Sharks coming up in 3-2-1, and that is all she wrote. The Hawks win. The Hawks finish off their centennial season with a 5-2 victory over the San Jose Sharks. A come-from-behind win, a decisive victory, ultimately, for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. A two-goal comeback victory for the Blackhawks over the San Jose Sharks, 5-2 to close out the 25-26 season. As I mentioned earlier, Blackhawks general manager Kyle Davidson signed a multi-year extension with the team that was announced before the game. Let's hear from Blackhawks chairman and CEO Danny Wirtz on the decision.
What led to the decision to extend Kyle?
Just continuity. I think, again, we're really, really happy with the progress we're making, and with all the work we still need to get done, you know, we want to continue to build the way we're building and continue to execute on his plan and his vision.
What steps did you see with this team this year?
You know, I think when I think about the on-ice in particular, I think it's the competitiveness. You know, more games where we were more competitive, more nights. Obviously, our quarter of our games ended in overtime. Need to figure out how to close those games for sure, but I think it's showing sort of overall a better competitiveness. And then I think the biggest thing for me really is the culture that's getting built. I think, and you guys are around our players now, you really see something a little bit different in the locker room. You see the way they are looking out for each other, the way they're competing with each other. And really that's kind of the biggest ingredient to winning hockey. So I think that's a really important step to make that you can really build on.
What do you think is the next step? Where does this club need to go next?
Yeah, I think a couple things. One is, you know, these players still each in their own development have to continue to take a step. Even Connor has to take another step, and he will. He's that competitive. But across the board, I think those are the things, the collective improvements that each of those players makes translates into team competitiveness and then ultimately wins. So that's what we're going for. I mean, our intention is to be competing and winning Stanley Cup. So, but we can't race to that conclusion until we do all these right things. So I feel really good with the pipeline. I feel really good with our prospects, but prospects turning into real players, as we've seen this year, is going to be continuing the trend there.
The fact that the past month has been probably the worst part results-wise as the young players have been in here, does that concern you at all?
It's not fun by any means, but I'd say probably not surprising, and probably a reminder and a recognition of just how hard this league is, especially players going from, you know, leagues where they play a considerably less games, less travel. It's a really hard league. It's a really hard league to adjust to. It just doesn't last forever. You know, they figure it out. All of the great players have in the past. But I think with having so many young players, it just was it's a long, arduous season. So, but I anticipate that improving as we go on.
Next season, if they were, you know, a bottom three, bottom five team again, would that concern you? Or what do you see as the rate of improvement you would like
to see? I mean, look, I think we want to continue to get better every year. So if we stayed flat to this year, I think we would be disappointed. But again, I look to those really important ingredients that lead to winning hockey as being the biggest things that end up translating to wins.
With all the potential, does it frustrate you the way things have ended this last quarter of the season?
I don't think any of the, the play in the last season is an indication of the potential not panning out by any means. I don't think it's that. I truly think it's a lot of different components of whether it's exhaustion or just, sort of the feeling you get at the end of a season. But I don't think that in any way shakes my confidence for the team that's, you know, being built and the team that and these players, the steps they've made this season. I expect them to continue to grow next season too.
Few teams are built this way, and you knew sort of it would take a long time if you're going to build within. Some of it's under Kyle's control of going out this summer and getting someone. Would you like to see it accelerated? Where I guess, would you like to see more veterans in, or are you kind of patient with how this?
Look, I don't think our plan has always been exclusively to build from within. I think, we think that the core of this team needs to be homegrown talent through the draft. That's how we were successful in the past. And when the opportunity arises and when we have the opportunity to add to our team and to become better, I mean, there's nothing holding Kyle back, that's for sure. It's not coming from me. So he's got the reins to make those decisions when he thinks the time is right. And when the opportunities arise, we can't always make the opportunities out of thin air. So a combination of continuing to build from within and then adding the right ingredients if and when the time comes.
What is your outlook on how Jeff has done at the bench?
I feel really good about the way he's approached this. I think from the very beginning we knew he was a teacher. He was going to really approach kind of teaching those winning habits, and I think, he had his work cut out for him with just the amount of young players. But I think he's done a really good job. I think the players have bought into him as a coach, his system. And again, that culture in the locker room, he's very much a big part of that and really getting these players to work together and to try to, make the most out of each other.
With Connor's contract coming up, what's he meant these last 3 years? And I guess it's your hope to hopefully sign him to a long-term extension?
Absolutely. We couldn't be happier with how Connor has showed up every single night, the way he competes, the way he now leads this team in many ways. Our intention is to absolutely, get him signed and to have him be a Blackhawk for a long time.
All right, that was Blackhawks chairman and CEO Danny Wirtz, who, by the way, deserves a lot of credit from the Blackhawks fan base from this perspective. The patience that is required financially to see a full teardown through and be patient during the process is really hard in today's NHL, especially given how hard some of the years were for the Blackhawks in the years prior. Like, I look at a team, just total side note, the Toronto Maple Leafs, like they're at a crossroads right now in their organization where they're going to try to figure out whether they should retool or do a full teardown. It sounds like they would rather retool on the fly. I don't know if that's going to be the best route for them. You can compound your mistakes if you try to keep the window open for too long. And so Danny Wirtz deserves a lot of credit for the patience that he has provided Kyle Davidson and the management group as they try to do this rebuild the right way. So there were a lot of things in there, can't touch on them all right now because we got to get to a break, but there were a lot of things in there that I think should be encouraging to Blackhawks fans, that Danny Wirtz has given the free reins for Kyle Davidson, and he's not the kind of hands-on owner that he wants to, he's trying to be in Kyle's ear to kind of rush this process. Like, there's still a patience factor in it, while also stressing the urgency of wanting to make sure that the Hawks are taking strides on a year-to-year basis. So good stuff from Danny Wirtz there. We do got more to get to here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show. We'll hear from Connor Bedard when we come back, coming up on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. For the last time this season, let's look at tonight's Ice Times, sponsored by Rogers & Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. And I'm actually going to make this a season edition of Ice Time. Alex Vlasic led the way for Chicago this year with 21 minutes and 7 seconds of time on ice average. Second on the list was Connor Bedard at 20 minutes and 54 seconds. Speaking of Connor, let's hear what he had to say after his team's performance in the finale against the San Jose Sharks.
What does it mean that this game at the end?
It's nice, I think it's been a tough little stretch for us, so it's kind of good to have a good game like that going to summer, kind of feeling better.
What'd you make of the ovation you guys got after the game, after you guys won?
Yeah, it's great. I think we're very lucky to play here and have that support, through ups and downs. It's been, obviously a few years of, not making playoffs, stuff like that. And, our fans are still behind us for all 41 home games. And, I think that's pretty special. You see some teams that go through similar things and they don't have many people in the crowd. So, we're extremely lucky and special place for sure.
Louis said he made eye contact with you when you feathered that pass over to him. How important is that there, that personal contact, the way this team's going?
I guess, yeah. I don't know about eye contact, but I think their guy kind of left him alone. Somehow he's a big guy to leave alone, but I think he's pretty wide open. So I hope I hope I was able to get it to him, you know.
It seemed like he was one of the bright spots of the year just with the steps he took. What did you see from him this year?
Yeah, he was great. You know, I think the job, you know, him and Blassie do every night playing against the team's best players and those hard men as PK and those type of situations, it's not easy to do. And, you know, I think you just saw his confidence grow so much game in and game out with, you know, the plays he was making. Obviously, he put up, you know, a lot of points for, you know, not power play. And, you know, I think it was awesome to see. And, you know, he's someone that works so hard at what he does. So when you see guys get rewarded for that and keep getting better and better, it's pretty special because, you know, he's going to be a big part of our group for a long time.
I'm not sure if you heard, but Danny Wirtz announced a contract extension for Cal Davidson. And for you as a player and obviously going in that where you're, you know, potentially signing long-term, does that speak at all to just their confidence in what, you know, Cal's doing and maybe the vision he has for the rebuild?
Yeah, I mean, I heard maybe 30 seconds ago, so. but no, it's great. He's doing a great job, and you see the talent we've, you know, collected in the past few years, and you know, he's a great guy. He's very easy to talk to. Me and him have a good relationship, and he's got a good relationship with our players. I think you know, that's important, and you know, he's very smart. You know, hockey mind. So you know, I think it's exciting when, you know, you can keep growing with kind of the same group of people, and you know, to see that it's exciting for him.
Was there a specific mindset or anything that was said in the room tonight to kind of get motivated to
skate
back after some tough games?
I think more so for our fans, you know. You know, I think, you know, the biggest, we were never checked out or anything like that. You know, we were trying every game. I think that's something that, you know, we want people to know. And obviously didn't go our way, but there wasn't a day in here where we weren't trying to do everything we can to put out our best effort. And you know, but that goes coaching staff, players, and just so for us coming into this last game, I think we really wanted to, you know, show that and show our fans, you know, just how much pride we have in you know, playing in the NHL, but also playing in Chicago. So, you know, I'm happy we were able to do that and, you know, have a win down the year.
You had 30 goals in a point per game season. How would you evaluate your season overall?
I think right now, I mean, you know, it's kind of hard. Like, I don't know. There's ups and downs. You know, I don't think I was, you know, good enough in my mind. I think there's a lot of room for me to grow. And, you know, but that being said, it's been, you know, I haven't scored in 10, and we kind of struggled the last bit. So maybe you're a little more negative in the moment. But once you kind of, you know, break things down and whatnot, I think there were positives for myself and for our team. But you always want to get better.
It's especially nice with the amount of talk outside of the room about you guys and the Sharks being rivals going forward to finish the year on a high note specifically against them.
Not really. There's 82 games, 32 teams. Every game is worth 2 points. And, you know, if in a couple of years we're playing in the playoffs every year and stuff, then, you know, obviously the rivalry kind of builds. But at the end of the day, every team, it's you're going out there trying to win for 2 points. And, you know, I don't think at this moment, you know, there's one team we want to beat extra. I think we want to win every game just as bad. So, yeah, not really.
You know, yet if you'll play in the Worlds, would you like to?
We'll see. I think, you know, anytime you have a chance to play for Canada, it's a hard opportunity to pass down, but you know, we'll see kind of how I'm feeling, how the body is and stuff. See, you're dying. I'll shorten up my answers for you. You know, we'll see kind of next week or so kind of how I'm feeling and you know, the schedule for that and whatnot.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Connor Bedard talking about the season finale for the Blackhawks, which ended in a 5-2 victory for the Blackhawks. We're going to take our final break, and then we'll wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show one last time after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Charlie Romeliotis here putting a wrap on the 25-26 season. And we're going to dive into a Blackhawks prospect update, last one of the year. Let's check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. I'm actually going to look ahead to the prospect that is likely going to vault to number one on the Blackhawks prospect list when the Blackhawks pick top four guaranteed this year in the 2026 NHL draft. Sounds like the top two forwards are going to be Gavin McKenna and Ivar Stenberg. This is also a really good defenseman class as well, though, led by Keaton Verhoef, Chase Reed. You have Albert Smits. So a really good draft class on the upper echelon this year. So the Hawks are going to get another potential high-end player, potential franchise cornerstone, and also possibly could be one that steps into the lineup in the NHL right away, depending on the position. So it should be another fun NHL draft for Chicago. Time now for tonight's next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. There is no game in the next one. The next game is going to come next season. So let's do this. Let's do some notable off-season dates to keep an eye on. Tomorrow is going to be locker cleanout day for the Blackhawks. Then the next date to kind of circle, May 5th, is reportedly the NHL draft lottery. I don't think the NHL has been public with that yet, but those are the early reports. NHL draft is June 26th and 27th, and then, of course, free agency is going to be on July 1st. And then, side note, next season is going to be an 84-game schedule, so two extra games, which means a shortened training camp and fewer preseason games. So should be a fun one next year, but thank you guys all for listening all season long, and we will talk to you next season. Plumbers 911 Chicago, I'm sorry, Blackhawks Hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Citgo. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That'll do it for our broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our on-site reporter all season long, the one and only Jack Heinrich, our production crew of Tony DeNardis and Eli Burke. They were led by our engineers, the Hall of Famer Paul Zerang, and Dan Long back at the station was our captain. For John Weideman and Steve Conroyd and Troy Murray looking down from above, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 5-2 win over the San Jose Sharks. Thanks for being with us, and have a great summer, everybody.